are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. To call in, dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Guys, you've just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station. As you know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. What's going on, people? On beautiful people of this world that I love so much. As you know, this is the show where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. What's going on, people? I'm your host, Davey Crockett, LATalkRadio.com. You've just tuned in to the Vibration Station. We got a very special show for you. Why is that? Well, it's who we have on the air with us today. I'd like you to say hello to the one and only Dr. Michelle. How you doing, Doc?
Hello, Dave.
You feeling good today?
Feeling great. Beautiful out here in Southern California.
It is absolutely beautiful out there in Southern California. It is beautiful out there, out here in Southern California. Sun is out.
Thanks for
feeling
having
good.
Me on the show today.
No, thank you for coming on, Doc. Well, I always love to have you on. It's such a blessing and such a pleasure. What we're going to be talking about today is something very interesting. We're going to give the public, right? We're going to give our listeners the inside scoop on what it's like to communicate the power of law of attraction, right? That's everything that we talk about here on the show. You are the creator of your own reality. It's basically empowering yourself to the nth degree. You are the most powerful, divine, infinite being in the universe. And it's you, and you, and you, and you, and you. And it's infinite. So there's so much power. So what we're going to be talking about today is how a psychologist, right? A well-known psychologist, if I might add, uses the power of law of attraction. Or not, well, we can touch on how you use it yourself, but what I want to talk to you about today, Doc, is how you convey the idea of law of attraction, how you allow people the understanding that they are the creator of their own realities, when you still need to maintain the, I don't want to say stature, the kind of content, like in the book, you still need to maintain a very by the book
right.
Practice, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
How do you do that?
Absolutely. I am, you know, what you call an eclectic psychologist in my practice.
Okay.
And that means that I use a lot of different techniques.
Okay.
That have been shown throughout experimentation and history to help people. So you could say I do psychodynamic techniques.
Okay.
I do Adlerian techniques. I do Carl Rogers humanistic, which really basically is a lot of support and empathy techniques. I use most of them. and I use cognitive behavioral, which means you think about your thoughts and you behave in positive ways to help yourself.
Okay.
And, yeah, so that in many ways corresponds with the teachings of the law of attraction,
right,
as you mentioned. So just to give you an idea of my background, that's sort of where I'm coming from in helping people. There's no one way that's best, and I'm not criticizing
right.
any psychologist or therapist, you know, those who practice psychoanalytic, you know, and sit there and let someone talk while laying on a couch for, you know, 45 minutes, that's valid too. But that's not my technique, so.
Right. Okay, so, Doc, I'm just going to get into this with you, okay?
Yeah.
This is a question that I've always gotten from, number one, listeners when I talk about the law of attraction and talk about changing your life. Also, I feel like this is probably a common theme, a common question that you might
right.
get as a psychologist.
Yeah.
Dealing with people that have had traumatizing experiences in their past or
yeah.
enough experiences which have led them into believing that they need psychological help. So
right.
my question here is, how do you express to somebody that has had a traumatizing childhood? Let's use this as a random example. You
right.
have somebody who has a traumatizing childhood. Their father was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Mom was never really there. And
right.
You know, now they're 25, 30 years old. They got their stuff together.
Right.
But they still, obviously, their inner child is still hurt, right? There's still
right.
something
sure.
that they have not completely come to closure
right.
with because of,
right.
you know, their growing up. How do you explain to somebody like that that they have, in a sense, attracted that into their lives? How do you explain that they have been vibrationally allowing for something like that to happen?
I do not go that route.
Okay.
Because I don't think people who are suffering from a painful past need to be judged. They may take it as a judgment. If I were to say, well, the law of attraction says that actually you've sort of attracted everything into your life. Right.
Right.
So from my standpoint, judgment is not an option.
Okay. Of course.
As a therapist.
Judgment is never,
you know,
an option. Right.
That's where the clinical part comes in, is that it's not for me to say who's right or wrong. Unless someone is, you know, has committed homicide or brutally beat or, you know, abused other people, then we work on that particular aspect of why and what's
right.
going on.
Right.
but it is not for me to tell them that they manifested or created the negative reality.
Right. Well,
some people would argue with me and say, I was born with bipolar disorder or major depressive disorder because my mother or my father or both my grandparents had it and I inherited it. Well, inheritance is truly biologically, you know,
proven.
A scientific fact.
Right, right. We know that. Absolutely, absolutely.
So I'm not willing to tell them that, you know, in the time before they came on this earth that they necessarily chose that. What right. I allude to sometimes is that, do you feel that we may choose our experiences to learn lessons from?
Right.
And what have
right.
you learned from this? Sometimes I allude to that. So I don't go into the fact that they chose their life or their experiences.
Okay.
Necessarily.
I understand.
So to answer your question, I don't come from that place, but I do approach, you know, why things might be happening to them continuously or why they continue to have the same thoughts from a law of attraction point of view.
Okay. I understand. Yeah. Absolutely. So my question for you here is, so you tell somebody that they have attracted their experience, right? Let's say that they talk about how it's just so crazy how they can never just find the right relationship. They can never find
exactly.
the right girl, or they can
exactly.
never find the right guy. And every single guy
right.
or every single girl that they've ever, you know, gone out with is, you know, they think they're really nice and they turn out to be an asshole. You know what I mean?
Right.
How do you, so you tell somebody, well, maybe that's something that you're attracting. Maybe that is something
yeah.
within
yeah.
you that you are kind of vibing to in those types of people, right?
Right.
You see
yeah.
that there's obviously a pattern that you have created for yourself, right? Between,
yeah.
you know, the last guy that you dated and the last guy that you dated and the last guy that you dated and the last guy that you dated, right? They all kind of have a similar theme going on.
Exactly.
Okay, so how do you tell somebody that, but simultaneously say that they are, Doc, I'm putting you in the hot seat now. I'm breaking this down for the listeners. I'm breaking this down
sure.
for myself. What I'm trying to do is find out, let's see, if I was a patient of yours and you
yeah.
told me that, you know, the reason why I've been attracting these types of women is because of blah, 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 right? Maybe that's just
right.
something, like,
right.
for example, listen to the story that you're telling. Listen to the way that you're
right.
talking about the girls. Oh, they're so this, oh, they're so that. Every single girl that comes into my life
right.
is this. Then obviously you could be showing me reasons why I'm attracting this type of girl. And I'm just using that
sure.
as a metaphor, right? Or as
sure.
a, you know, as an example. Not a metaphor, it's an example. So if you're telling me that, but then I ask you, as your patient, I
mm-hmm.
say, Doc, so if I'm attracting those types of women, then
yeah.
did I attract that, you know, abusive mother or father?
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? What would you
Correct.
Say to a patient? What would you say to somebody in your practice that said that to you? What would your response be?
That's a great question. A really great question. And then I go into what is called insight-oriented therapy.
Okay.
In other words, we find why we keep repeating the same patterns by having insight into our past and understanding some of the beliefs that we have about ourselves.
Right.
So I do have and have had for years a lot of women come to me and say, why do I keep attracting men who are verbally abusive, who are cold, who cheat on me?
Right.
Who, you know, I hear this a lot. And we explore, I give them insight into repeated patterns. And what about these particular people attract them? And then we do go into what was your sort of upbringing, what kinds of father figures or,
right.
you know, uncles or grandfathers or brothers did you have around you? How did you feel? And what we find many times is a pattern of men in their lives who have been neglectful, abusive, untrustworthy. And so those are belief systems that they incorporate in their minds and naturally will be attracted to men that are like that. So clarifying that. So in terms of the law of attraction, that's where I come in and say, you seem to keep attracting the same type of person based on your beliefs.
Right.
Because what you believe, what you feel,
right.
You're coming into every relationship with fear. Oh, my goodness, I hope he doesn't abandon me like my father did.
Right.
I mean, it may not be a conscious, but, oh, my gosh, maybe I'm not good enough for him. Oh, my
right.
gosh. I hear this all the time. I want to be perfect. I want to be good enough for him. I don't want him to cheat. I don't want him to abandon me. I hear this continuously, and it's built in almost as I try to help them.
Totally. Totally.
And also that they seem to be creating more and attracting more of this type of person into their life because that's what they're thinking
right.
all the time.
Right.
If you're fearful and you're worried and you're creating, as the law of attraction would say, people who are going to hurt you or fear of that, you're going to have them come to you.
Right.
And that's
Absolutely.
What I believe.
Absolutely.
And they say to me, I would not choose that. I would not choose to be hurt. I wouldn't choose to feel badly or be abused.
Of course.
And my response is yes, but you don't know anything otherwise than that because that's how you've been raised.
Right. So it's almost like a program. It's like they've been programmed into...
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a really great way to say it.
Right.
Yeah.
They've been programmed into... believing that that's the only way to be, because that's all that they've ever known, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if you take, you know, you take the complete opposite of that. For example, I was raised very well. I like my parents have always showed me love. My parents have always, you know, been there for me, financially supported me, and you know, they've always kind of, you know, they taught me, you know, what's right and what's wrong, and you know, what's appropriate and what's inappropriate and where to do it and where not to do it. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Lucky you.
And a lucky me. Absolutely. I feel super blessed to have the parents that I do. So kind of what you're saying is take somebody like myself that has had a positive upbringing and then take somebody that has been abused and unfortunately has had parents that don't see that don't really see that type of parenting to be fully effective.
Right.
What you're saying is because of my past experiences, I can kind of differentiate for myself to know that that's hurtful and that that's abusive and that I don't want that for myself because when I grew up, I know that when, you know, when my parents showed me love, I liked it. And when, you know, they would get upset with me because I did something that I wasn't supposed to, or, you know, a family member, you know, we always had family over and stuff. If I was doing something and a family member kind of got upset at me because I was being rude or inappropriate, I didn't like that. And I knew off the bat that, okay, that's wrong. And that's right. So take somebody that's been abused, and that abuse is, when they're a child, that's appropriate. That's kind of programmed into being like, well, dad does it, so I guess that's just the way it is. Like, that's, you know, obviously they know that it doesn't feel good. Obviously they know that it hurts, but I guess it's easier to fall into a pattern of just accepting what it is, you know?
Exactly. And on a deeper level, when we're children, we don't know. We're innocent. We don't know why someone's mad at us.
Right.
We can't really... That's normal for us if we're brought up in a home of chaos and you know, anger and fighting and abuse or whatever it may be. Hopefully there's one parent in the house that's calm or tries to calm things down because that gives us more stability.
Right.
But when a lot of my clients grow up with drug addicts or alcoholics or people who have serious disorders, which could mean mood disorders like bipolar, and don't take medications, you never know how things are going to be.
Right.
It could always be unstable. You get up every morning as a child gearing yourself up for, oh, my God, how's this day going to be?
Right.
So you're really training your brain to be ready for anything. And as a child, we are innocent and we take things personally. So right. as a child, we take yelling and screaming and, you know,
we think it's our fault.
Words are hateful as, oh my God, I must not be good enough.
Right.
Oh my God, I must be
right.
defective. I must be stupid. I must be not lovable. And then we kind of
wow.
shove that down to survive and incorporate that
wow.
into our, you know, our truth.
So my question for you, sorry,
yeah.
no, go on, go on.
No, that's it. Yeah,
so
that's what I was.
My next question for you, Doc, is how do your patients respond, right? How does, how do the majority of your patients respond to that? Not necessarily the law of attraction part, but respond to you telling them that maybe this is, well, it is the law of attraction part, but
yeah,
not as, you know, not as full-fledged,
right.
you know, not as real, not as, you know what I'm trying to say, not as, you know, well, you are the creator of your own reality, not as intense as that,
sure.
but what I'm saying is,
sure.
how do your patients respond to you telling them that maybe, you know, because they've locked into these patterns growing up as children, that that's why they've been attracting the people that they've been attracting and the jobs and the things and the financial, you know, lack of abundance
yeah.
or, you
yeah.
know, whatever it is that they are attracting, how do they respond to that? Do they, I feel like, because almost, see, that's, you, wow, that's walking a very thin and fine line because
right.
you don't, you're absolutely right, Doc. You don't want to put a person down. You don't want to make them feel
sure.
like, you know, they're responsible or, you know. But also, do you think that that would be putting too much, what I want to say is, do you think that that's putting too much responsibility on their shoulders to be like, listen, the way that you've been thinking is what you're getting. But the fact of the matter is, that's the way that it is. And if they were to change their thinking, they would have a different life. That's just the way
right.
that it is.
Yeah.
How do they respond? That's my question.
Well, and it's they usually respond very well because my approach, you know, I don't approach it like that because of the way you're thinking. It's in the approach. It's in more of a kind,
right.
gentle, understanding approach that helps give them insight into perhaps why they feel this way about themselves. Why do they have low self-esteem? Why do they keep picking? Perhaps you feel this way because you feel that that's all you deserve.
Right.
But you must understand that the more you think of this, the more you're going to attract it.
Right.
So it's really in the way it's delivered to the particular patient. And that's, you know, where the psychologist, being an empathetic, kind person, comes in. You have to. You can't, you know, well, it's your thinking.
You're not that. You're not that empathetic or kind, Doc. Don't. I'm totally kidding.
But most people, to answer your question, people respond very positively because they come to me for help and they want to understand.
Right, right.
And they want to, and then they also want to understand and learn, and this goes to the psychology part, boundaries and what they're willing to stand for anymore.
Okay. Totally.
Are they willing to...
Totally.
What are the things that are really bothering them? Let's just say about a real person in a relationship.
Okay, good example, because I'm sure that that's a very common theme.
Yes. So then I help them define the boundaries. What do they want to put up with? What are they willing to put up with? Once they learn that they are deserving, once they learn that they are sweet, kind people who just kind of created these patterns of people into their life based on all they knew. So they have to figure out what kind of changes do they want? What kind are these people willing to change to their what they would like to have in their life?
Right.
A kind, trustworthy person in their life.
Like, do you want to let go of that scared inner child? You know what I mean? Do you want to
right,
do
exactly.
you want to let go
and,
of that?
And
right.
then we work on drawing boundaries with people who are unkind or cheating on them or, you know, whatever, whoever they've attracted. I hear this many times from young women who say, I'm so totally in love with him.
Right.
But I don't trust him because he's I found texts to other women and I've seen him on Facebook and I've snuck into his phone and but I'm totally in love with him. It's like you need to reevaluate
right.
that concept of totally in love and where it came from.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
because
powerful.
Dad was the first man you knew, and did you love your dad? Sure, because you're an innocent being. But was your dad kind to you, possibly, or were the men in your life kind to you before that? Maybe not. But
that's powerful.
What you were supposed to be, with total love.
That's really powerful. That's really powerful. Yes. So what I'm kind of getting from this...
Yes.
And, Doc, you're planting seeds in my head when you're telling me all these things. I'm getting a lot of knowledge, and I really appreciate that. So kind of what I'm getting from this, I find this really fascinating. It really is. What I'm getting from this is that kind of everything that you do and, you know, for example, you have the label of, oh, I'm so totally in love, right, with your patients.
Right.
So everything that you do kind of has a background story. Everything kind of has like a prerequisite to why you are where you are, and a prerequisite to why you are feeling that way, or why you can only find, you know, love for these type of people, or why you can't allow yourself, when a good guy comes around, to fall for him. You know what I mean?
Because
that's interesting if you think about it. Like, if there's a woman who, and it's funny because with my friends and whatnot, I've definitely experienced this on a very similar level with, you know, my friends talking to me and being like, dude, I really love this chick, but, you know, this and that and that. And, you know, oh, I really, like, I can't let her go. I'm not going to let her go. But... you know, she does this, and she does this, and she does this. And,
right.
And I'm not just talking about, oh, she leaves the toilet seat up. You know what I mean? I'm talking about, like, you know, oh, she, you know, hangs out with these other guys and tells me, you know, that, oh, they're just her friends and this and that. You know, I've had friends with that experience happening. But I can't let her go. There's like this, there's a dependency, you know, like, I can't let her go. So... I'm kind of fascinated to see that, you know, that all has a reason behind it. It all has a root. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise everybody would just be attracting to everybody else that was perfect off the bat. You know, if everybody was in perfect alignment with themselves, and everybody was, you know, vibrating at a super high frequency, and everybody was, you know, focused on, you know, love and light and happiness and joy and laughter and finding understanding for, you know, why your father beat you, and finding, you know, clarity and closure as to,
understanding,
you know,
understanding where he came from and what his issues are, and letting him be who he is and letting him go, and not associate that with who you are.
Exactly. And not having that determine your future, you know?
Right.
We really can get stuck in the past. We really can get caught up, you know, about things that have happened in our past, and all of a sudden look back and 5 years have passed and you're like, wait a minute. I feel like that was... And things like that have happened to me. Like, I'll get in like a mode in my head, you know what I mean? I'll get in like a certain headset, or I'll start thinking about, you know, where I'm going to be in X amount of years, and, you know, the steps that I'm going to take, and just like kind of things like that. But also, like, you know, my thought process, how am I going to be thinking in a few years? And then all of a sudden a few years pass, and I'm like, wait a minute, nothing has changed. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's the same.
Yes,
what can I do to change it up, you know? And it really is not going to change until you want it to. You know what I mean?
That's right. If you're, you know, with your life or with relationships or whatever, that's why people, when they come to me, I know that they're very uncomfortable and they're not happy.
Right.
We put things off sometimes, you know?
Right.
I just wanted to mention something else, too. When people have problems, you know, who come to see me, let's just say, as we've been using as an example with relationships, sometimes people also have patterns of being caregivers. In other words, sometimes there's just nice people coming into this world. And they feel sometimes, and I know a lot of my psychologist friends feel this way, they feel sometimes that they just they have hearts, and they need to take care of people who are not as, say, happy or fulfilled or,
right.
you know, and this happens, and I say this because sometimes people, you said you have a great upbringing and all that, and you feel loved. Sometimes people who have love and feel good feel like they see friends around them or people, and they suffer for others.
Right. They feel like responsible almost for their happiness. Right.
People. And what happens sometimes is that does take a toll on our hearts and our stress level, because there's some people that don't want help. There's some people that won't receive the help. There's some people that just, you know, but we continue to try to tell them and teach them and be there for them and all. But it can be frustrating as a journey with family members or friends or relationships, because they sometimes are just not willing. And like I said, it takes a toll on the caregiver.
Right. It does.
You know, so it's a very, you know, that's another mindset we can get into, too.
It's interesting that you point that out. I feel like maybe when I was younger, I may, and maybe a little bit still to this day, because I've kind of felt that before. I've totally felt like if somebody who I love and I care about is not happy or isn't, like,
right.
you know, in a good state of mind, I feel like semi-responsible for...
Aww.
Well,
yeah.
No, and this isn't Dave's psychological corner, but it's, you know, I'm not getting a free session over here. No. But no. We're here to talk for the listeners. But what I'm saying is, it's interesting though. I can relate to that.
I
feel like that can be, obviously not, you know, obviously to a much greater extent, but that can be almost as harmful as the individual that is, you know, experiencing the suffering.
I see, and again, it comes in with training ourselves to learn boundaries with people
right.
who might be sort of sucking the life out of us.
Yes, boundaries.
Giving and giving.
Boundaries.
And being there and giving and not seeing results. They're continually suffering because they choose to suffer, and they hope someone like you will come along to save them and pull them out of their sadness or whatever, but...
But they don't want that.
Sometimes it's comfortable to stay in that pattern.
Right,
of
right.
being, you know, dependent on someone.
I didn't want to interrupt you.
No.
Another interesting facet that I would like to touch on is dealing with people that say that they, you know, that say that they really want help, and they're going out there and, you know, do you ever experience certain types of people, so your patients that will come in and say, this is wrong, but then they say they want help, but they don't ever act like they want help. They say they want help, but really, they just want somebody to vent to. And at the end of the day, as much as you could give them the, like, a book that sparkles that just says all of life's answers to happiness. And
yes.
you can open the book and you will automatically be happy because you will start sparkling with happiness. But they just, they will be like, no, the book is, there's something wrong with the book. The book doesn't
right.
open. Do you get that? You get what I'm saying? Now that's the metaphor.
Sure.
That's a metaphor that I'm going.
That's
But do you experience that at all? And if so, what would you say to maybe change their decision and to actually, well, you can never change someone's decision, but what could you do to aid and assist them into finding the help that they are supposedly looking for?
Good question. I think the most important thing to tell people off the bat is that they can't change anyone in their life. They can't control anyone in their life.
That's really good.
They can attempt to or try. But the only thing they can control is their thoughts and their actions.
Right.
Their thoughts and their actions. So if they're always talking about their external situations going on, and this is where the law of attraction comes in, oh, I just don't have any money, and oh, my boyfriend cheats on me, and my mother is so controlling, and I hate my boss, and, you know, it's
right.
Like, then you get to choose, are all these things, do you want to make the boyfriend go away? Do you want to change jobs? Do you want to draw boundaries with your mother who's controlling?
Totally.
Because it's all up to you. Because you're continually attracting. You wake up every morning and you're negative about all these things you just told me.
Yeah.
You're
going
to continue to attract them and keep them in your life unless you're willing to change your thoughts about what you want. And feelings, which you know is so important with the law of attraction, is focusing on how do you feel today.
Right.
So, and I give them that, and I tell them I do not have the magic wand. A lot of people come in and think that by sitting and, you know, good, it's great to dump and to just talk and
totally
have
just unload, have somebody to talk to and kind of get it off your chest.
Yeah,
of course.
Wonderful. It's so important and therapeutic because someone needs to listen to them.
Totally.
Because maybe they haven't had that. But further, if they're going to change, they need to take the thought action to change and be aware of how they feel. Do I feel sad? What is causing this? It's my continued, you know, exposure to what's out there. How can I change inside first how I feel? And then that'll go about changing what's going on outside. People
right.
would say, oh, you have to change the outside first. Well, yes, if you're crying every morning because you think your boyfriend cheated on you again, or
right.
you find text to another woman, and you've confronted him, and he says, no, no, this is my old school from a friend from school, and I, but it's continuously happening, and you, in your heart,
no.
you know, are saying, I'm hurting.
Right.
Yes, you can say, I am hurting, and I choose not to talk to you for a while, because I have to work through this.
Right.
You change your thought inside about you and who you are.
And
you work on feeling better.
You give yourself options. You give yourself choices. I feel
yes.
like that we, as human beings, I feel like it's almost in our nature that we're very quick to cut out our options. We're super quick to just be mm-hmm. like, that's the only way, and there's, you know, that's the only way of doing it. That's, you know, that's what feels good. That's what's going to happen. And I feel like it's because of a lot of the ties and the attachments that we create within ourselves and that we make. We make
sure.
these, you know, we don't let it go. We make these ties
right.
to these
right.
things that we feel like if we don't have them or we don't have the clarification of them being there, then we
right.
are going to, you know, we're going to die or, you know, whatever, you know, obviously not to that extent,
yeah.
but, you know,
yeah.
we won't feel good. We'll start freaking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Kind of
sure.
an example that I'm going for is let's take a guy that is, you know, cheating on his girlfriend and a
yeah.
girl is extremely dependent upon this man. And just
yeah.
like the exact example that you just gave, we're going to take those two people. She sees the text messages, he
yeah.
says no, but in her heart, she knows. It's no, you know.
Yeah. yeah.
But she cannot say to him, oh, I'm going to need some time, you know, for myself. I'm going to need some free time to just really think about this and process this and figure out if, you know, it's really healthy for me to be so emotionally invested in what you're doing with another girl. You
uh-huh.
know what I'm saying? So
right.
for that girl that is so attached, she cannot let that happen because of her attachment to, oh, I need to be with him. I need to know that it's okay. You know what I'm saying? How would you ease somebody into showing them that maybe they need to cut the ties that are holding them back from being as happy as they can be?
I continue to ask them, how do you feel when you see those texts or those, he's changed his password. And when he changed his password and you went into his private place,
right.
Why did he change his password? And this goes, how do you feel when you see these texts?
Most important question.
How do you feel? How does it make you feel? How did it make you feel on Friday night? When after you both made love, you woke up at 3 in the morning to get some water, and he was sleeping, and you just, for the heck of it, looked through his messages. And he had just texted somebody an hour earlier.
Mm.
And said, how did that make you feel in the morning? Mm. How does that make you feel every other day? Are you tired of it? Aren't you tired of it?
Right.
When you get tired enough of feeling this pain, what is more important? You keeping something that's a habit and stable and having someone in your life? Or really not feeling the sadness and, you know, feeling badly about yourself? And that's where we come into working on self-esteem as well. Why do you think you deserve this?
Totally.
And that's where we go back to the early times of, well, maybe I don't deserve anybody better because I never had anybody better in my life. And when I did have someone who was nice or better, that one person, I got rid of them because it was too uncomfortable.
Right. Right.
So, you know, it's kind of, you know, we work through that.
That's interesting.
That's how I can't force anyone to do anything.
Of course not.
Everyone has their own choice, but I can tell them that beating themselves up day in and day out and feeling this pain can be quite addictive.
Wow.
That sounds very strange.
No,
but sometimes we get so used to it that it becomes normal.
Right.
And of course, there's chemicals going on too when we're sad.
When we're releasing these emotions.
When we're tense, when we're stressed, when we're angry, when we're screaming, and these chemicals and adrenaline are all being recharged every time we feel these bad feelings.
Totally. You're connecting the neural nets. You're making the neural nets happen and happen and happen and happen, and soon enough you get so caught up in, you know, the same way of thinking, the same way of reacting to every situation, that you either, number one, lose sight of how to change that emotional construct, or you just, you know, flat out don't want to because it's way too out of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And I feel
I
was just going to go on. I was going to say, I feel like one of the most important parts of healing for oneself, one of the most important parts of, you know, cutting these ties that hold us back from the fullness of who we are, and, you know, and really indulging in the things that we've always wanted to indulge in, but we were too afraid of because of stepping out of our box. I feel like that is one of the number one keys to healing oneself, is stretching those limits and changing the neural nets and trying new things and purposefully, deliberately changing the way that you react to things in a positive way. For example, that used to piss me off, but now I realize that by me getting pissed off by that, the only person that I'm hurting is me, and the only thing that I'm getting across to anybody else is that is that I'm giving up my power into this because this pisses me off. So I'm going to choose today and for now on to try my best. You know, it doesn't have to be black and white and I can't get mad at this anymore. No.
We all have feelings. We all get angry. Normal.
Of course.
Normal.
Of course. I'm going to deliberately try my best to not get pissed off at this thing, or to not allow this to frustrate me or anger me or get me tense or sad or depressed or upset. And deliberate is the big word here. Deliberately, being conscious of what you're doing, being active about changing your thoughts, knowing that you are changing your thoughts. Why? Because you want to feel good. That's it.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
That's
nothing else.
Well said.
Well, you know, that's as you know, we talk a lot about the power of feeling good. And if you just feel good, this the whole vibration station, Dave's good vibration station. It's a good vibration.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
I love that.
It's about feeling good. If you can make, and you know, I'm going to give credit to absolutely Esther Hicks, you know, for saying this.
Yeah.
Esther and Abraham. if you make feeling good your most important virtue, then nothing else can be wrong. If you make how you feel the most important aspect of your life, if you stop making your feelings and your thoughts conditional upon what's happening in your reality, for example, you know, I don't like that person that just, or that person just cut me off. You know, I'm mad because that person cut me off. No. You're mad because you're allowing yourself to get frustrated over something that you actually have control of.
Right.
I'm mad because I'm mad at this person because they hurt me emotionally. No.
Sure.
You're mad at that person because you have a tie. You have given them some of your power. You have an emotional tie to them. And when they do something that is out of alignment with what you think is appropriate, then you get yourself angry because of the ties that you've made with them, right? It's finding these things and breaking these things down for oneself, which really defines the power within an individual. Like, if you, I'm just going to say this one more time for listeners. If you make how you feel the most important thing, nothing else matters. Everything else falls into place, and everything else will fall into place given the right time, given the timing, because, baby, you get what you give. If you're offering it, you're going to get it. And it may take a month. It may take 2 months. It may take a year. It may take 2 years.
Right.
I promise you it ain't gonna be forever. It's going to happen. If you practice deliberately feeling good, you will practice deliberately attracting things that make you feel good. That's it.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree. I just wanted to also just interject something really quick because I've had people ask me this.
Yeah, let's hear it.
And when you say all that matters is me feeling good, and I am working with a narcissistic patient, and there is such a thing as called narcissistic personality disorder.
Totally.
There's a thing called borderline personality disorder. They're called cluster B axis too in the psychological jargon.
Okay.
There's antisocial personality disorder and histrionic and passive aggressive.
Okay.
And in these personality disorders, which are said to be both environmental and you know, from DNA, there is a sense of all that matters is how they feel.
Right.
And that's not what you're saying. You're not saying step on other people, hurt other people.
God, no. Absolutely not.
You know, it's all about me, and I can talk about me for hours in front of other people.
No.
And all that matters is my showing off my wealth, and I'm better than
Absolutely not.
That's not where you're coming from, and I know that, but I'm just clarifying.
No, thank you for doing that. I really appreciate that, because I didn't even think of that aspect of it.
No, because I've heard it, and I've seen it, and I go, no, it's not you get to step on other people, and it's all about you.
Right,
it's
no.
What makes you feel good? What would make you feel better in your life that you can achieve for yourself?
Right.
And that you can change for yourself in terms of who might be hurting you. How can you get more abundance in your life? How, you know, make the plans to get more educated, get a better job.
Absolutely.
How can you be a nicer person?
Absolutely.
How can you change your mind, your thoughts, and a lot of it's really, you know, very humble.
Totally.
It all revolves
around humility. Yeah.
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 So
absolutely.
I just wanted to point that out real quick and didn't mean to, you know, interfere with your flow there. But
no, not
a lot
at all.
Of people who are narcissistic think when I talk about that it's about stepping on others and all that matters is their feelings and thoughts. And that's not what we're talking about in the law of attraction.
No. Right? We're just talking about finding a feeling good thought, finding a thought that makes you feel good, and once you feel good, you spread that to other people. See, the goal is to make yourself feel good, you make other people feel good, and then you just have this whole big chain reaction of everybody feeling good. That's it.
That's right.
Doc, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure.
We had such an amazing 50 minutes. It was
great.
Completely blissful. Always a blessing, always a pleasure. make sure to check out Dr. Michelle on the couch every Friday at 11 o'clock a.m.
That's right. I'm here, guys, and check out my website, talkshowtherapist.com.
There you go, talkshowtherapist.com. Thank you so much, Doc. I really, really appreciate you taking out your time on your blessed Sunday to come and speak with us about some really important stuff. You're the best.
I love
always,
your show.
Always, I love your show. Always unconditional love and appreciation from our hearts to yours. Thanks, Doc. We'll
Thanks,
talk
Dave.
To you soon.
Bye. Thank you.
Listeners, once again, a Sunday coming to a close. I want to tell each and every one of you that you have my blessings. You have my unconditional love, my unconditional appreciation, always and forever. As you know, I'm your host, Davey Crockett. This is Dave's Good Vibration Station, LATalkRadio.com, world's most listened to internet talk radio station. Check this out, guys. We just loaded up our Facebook and our Twitter. Make sure to go on and like us. You can love us if you want. Talk to you guys soon. Chances are good. Check it out. Peace.
Licking up with the medicine, walking on the path, turning to the Puritan. Open up your eyes, the light time has come again.